Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you on Friday. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago. Daddy Burke and you can tap the line. Chillingbridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Busy show today as we'll dive into Nebraska Rutgers. We'll dive into Tim Miles' press conference that happened around 1:30, and Nebraska's attitude and support of one another when it comes to social activism and social conscience. That is a topic of discussion today. We'll get into that. Jake Milhuizen, part of Nebraska, standout in high school and at the university, part of the broadcast team, will be with us in 15 minutes, get his thoughts on the game and what's going on with Nebraska basketball, how the team and players are feeling with the events and situation. And I shouldn't call it a situation, but just the mood on campus right now with so many students at Nebraska. Also, we'll dive into some strength and conditioning discussion. Many of the Nebraska assistant coaches have been around the state. They are commenting on what they see, how they feel, what things are like right now when it comes to how in shape this team is. And a quote from Troy Walters has got social media going, or at least it did 24 hours ago. Not necessarily what the coach said, but the reaction to how this team's perceived or what type of shape was this team in when Scott Frost took over. So we'll get into that. Guy Rosenberg, Elkhorn South, Moses Bryant, tremendous back. We'll hear that interview with Guy Rosenberg in hour two. Derek Peterson's been all over. His thoughts on Ryan Held, the job he's done as a recruiter. Derek Peterson of HailVarsity.com, Dr. Petey, also at the Miles press conference. Again, you can join us 466-377-6800-825-5865. Let's get you caught up on the temperature right now with Nebraska basketball. This from Omaha.com. Nebraska really seriously thought about boycotting Saturday's game. The men's team rejected a proposal to boycott a game against Rutgers over the views of a white nationalist student. That from Coach Miles. You'll hear Coach Miles' comments here. And the players, they're going to play tomorrow. They're going to put a video together. They'll have T-shirts expressing their opinion of the situation. Hate will never win. That was the hashtag with the team last night on social media. And the team was pissed. They're upset about this white nationalist student. They're upset with his views. There's the question of safety. You have Chancellor Green. Said this campus is safe. It's fine. It's free speech also that needs to be honored. While that may make you rip your hair out because you don't agree with it, that's the teetering act that needs to happen. And you have players that are upset about it, that don't like the message, don't like the beliefs of the white nationalist student, which I understand. And how are you going to handle this? How much time and energy are you going to put on it if you're a player or a student for that matter? It can bother you. And you want to, your natural response is to try and do something about it, speak out against racism. I totally get all that. But in an instance, too, is boycotting the right call? Because you had calls for this student to be expelled. And while that's the easy call, it's not the legal call under the First Amendment. Now, the violence and the video and that message that came across from this student in the video, it's going to make a lot of folks feel uncomfortable and uneasy. Has there been any action? No. Thank God. But it's been on the minds and hearts of your Nebraska basketball team. Coach Miles listened to his team. It's something that's bothered them. They communicated with their coach. They communicated with each other. And they are going to do something about it. Hate will never win is their message. Coach Miles right there. And Coach Miles is proud of his team. He wants to stand up and stand proud with them. So here is Coach Miles. We'll have a lot of Coach Miles here these first 10, 12, 15 minutes. But his initial thoughts today as he was at the press conference and it was discussed.
Our guys came up with the motto, hate never wins. I love it. I think it hits home and makes sense to us as athletes.
Okay, more from Coach Miles here on. You can go two ways with this video and your frustration by it. You going to be quiet about it or you going to say something about it?
I'm proud of these guys because they want to be involved. It would be easy to shrug your shoulders and say, that doesn't have anything to do with me. Heck, we're winning some games. Let's talk about the ball game.
That's a popular opinion, too. That's the other response you'll run into with Nebraska fans, and you'll run into with maybe some guys on the team. Let's just play ball. But guys on the team were bothered by it. Here's Evan Taylor. And Evan was on the show last Friday. Tremendous piece to this basketball team. What he does defensively, what he does as a leader, what he does as a vocal leader. His thoughts as he was part of the press conference this afternoon.
In light of the recent events on campus regarding hate speech, our team, on behalf of the Nebraska basketball team, we would like to deliver a message that against racism that encourages positivity. We encourage all of the Husker athletes and the student body to get behind us. The message that we want to send is, you know, hate never wins, to spread love.
Okay, they want to spread love. How do you combat a message that is derogatory, hurtful, hateful towards others? Flip it around. Everyone's all good. Let's love one another. Great message. And you have a real serious situation on campus with people's feelings. You have a situation where the team was ready to, they were discussing a boycott because of how upset they are. Cooler heads prevailed with that. And listen, it's basketball. It's not end-all, be-all. I get it. It's just a sport. It's just a game. But in the same instance, Missouri has taken a long time to get back from a coach's standpoint, Gary Pinkel, when they boycotted. And it's just dicey. It's touchy. You want to respect people's feelings and opinions and voice. Remembering Danny Birkin, Pride of Chicago. Danny's an undergraduate. I'll be on campus, but it's to cover events. I'm old. You're not. What's the temperature, man? And I'm not asking you to speak for every student down there, but I'm asking you to speak for some of your peers that cover sports, but also some of the guys you run around with and might hit O Street with.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows about it. Everyone's covering it. Everyone's talking about it. A lot of people are pissed, and they feel unsafe and uncomfortable walking around campus.
You feel unsafe, like something's going to happen?
That's what I...
Someday, some other unwanted people with differing views are going to show up and be physical?
I mean, I personally feel fine, but there's just people, like, if you just look on Twitter, a lot of the students, they say they do not feel comfortable with him on campus, and that's why they want him expelled. That, and obviously because of his viewpoints, and because there was the video of him saying that he likes violence that this other group made, apparently like some alt-left group or something right. Made it, but... So that's what it is. They had a rally in front of the union on Thursday.
Coach Miles was there.
Yeah, Coach Miles was there. I was walking by. I didn't go to it. But yeah, so people are just, they obviously don't want him on there. They don't want the negativity, the racism, all of that on campus, which is understandable. But yeah, I mean, the basketball team taking some action toward it, and you got to respect it, but I just don't think forfeiting the game would be the right call, which is a good thing they didn't do that. But I do like the way they're like taking the route about doing it besides... like they're still playing in the game, but like you said, they're making the shirts, they're sending out all this message with all the tweets. I think it's doing a lot without also sacrificing a lot being not playing in the game. So I think they're doing a really good job.
You
with
don't
that
want to give this guy attention.
That too, exactly.
You don't want to give this guy eyes and ears. You don't want to be blind to it either.
Right.
So how do you go about combating the message? How do you go about switching the message and changing the conversation from his viewpoint, his take, his thoughts to let's love one another? And it, I mean, there was almost no basketball game tomorrow, and Nebraska had a chance to discuss that. Coach Miles has been really big time. Not just, and I'm talking working on 19 wins tomorrow. I'm talking about how locked in he is with his team and where he is at from a communication standpoint. It's not always the case with your coaches or your assistants. And Miles took time to be a part of the protest. They're handling this in a very healthy way, as frustrated as they are. Ryan's with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Ryan, go ahead. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, I have a couple comments. My first one's not related to the situation you guys are talking about. I was just curious if Noah Vedral is actually going to be eligible to play this year or if he had to sit out a year.
He's got to sit out because of a transfer.
Okay, that's what we were wondering. And my second comment is related to what you guys are talking about. I think the university, I understand the reason of his freedom of speech, and he's a racist dude, but I my personal opinion, the hell with him. You know, don't freaking waste your time on him. You know what I mean? They'll figure out a way to get him out. There's more than one way to skin a cat. You know, so you know, one way or another, they'll get him. I think they'll get him kicked out of or off campus, one way or another.
Okay,
that's my thoughts.
Ryan, thanks for the call. Appreciate you listening, man. So, yeah, he had a quarterback question. It's always football season. And then don't waste time on it. Had to touch on it. We'll have more from Tim Miles on the game. But there was almost no game. So this is Coach Miles. We'll get to some Rutgers thoughts here in a second. But from a platform standpoint, and again, the handling of the situation by Miles and listening to his team.
Last spring, I think when there was the exodus, that was a galvanizing moment for this team because the guys that stayed because they want to be at Nebraska. I think this just even further makes that point even stronger. You know, this act of, hey, we'd like to spearhead a quote-unquote movement, you know, that this isn't right. So it doesn't surprise me.
Nebraska getting compliments from their head coach. One of the reasons that Nebraska is comfortable being so outspoken with this. I mean, let's talk business for a second. Let's talk the business of making an NCAA tournament for a second. Let's talk business of getting a contract extension. Let's talk business about distraction. Let's talk about all the things that are brass tacks when it comes to selection committee, wins and losses, what's going to get you dancing. That piece of the puzzle compared to the entire puzzle of the world and the world you live in and what's going on campus, what's going on campus, and what's hacking off students with this dude. Okay, there. One is a very big apple. One's a tiny orange, pun intended, with a basketball when it comes to importance. But it's also not a time to have a team slip up because they're thinking about other things, no matter how important things may be on the grand scale or scheme of things, world versus basketball. And that's where a lot of Nebraska fans are going to come from. Just go play ball and win games. Don't distract. Go beat Rutgers. And one reason that Miles feels okay about tomorrow is because of how mature this team is, where they're at, and He's had real conversations with him this week. You can be upset. You can want to do something about it. How much energy are you spending on this guy that you don't agree with? He's affecting you. Is he affecting you? Here's Coach Miles from earlier today.
Yeah, that has come up too, by the way. As we go about this, I do trust the maturity of the team and the focus of the team, and my job is to insulate them a certain amount too. And so I tell them, hey, you have to be careful about what you're doing on social media. You have to be careful about how much time you're spending and emotional energy you're spending elsewhere. You have to think about this. And so, but I'm not about to kick them off Twitter because, you know, social media is going to be part of the whole deal, right? So as we go forward, I just depend on their maturity to keep working to prepare for Rutgers, because Rutgers can, and they've played the best in our league, the toughest. We need to be prepared for a very difficult game on Saturday afternoon and then another one on Tuesday.
Where's their mind at for tomorrow? Can they focus back in to go get another W, get a 19th win? Can they focus on, dare I say, a 10th conference win while doing the right thing and speaking out against racism? Jake Mielheis is going to be on the broadcast tomorrow. Four-year captain for Nebraska basketball, pride of Southeast. Jake Mielheis next at Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, the pride of Lincoln Southeast, part of the Nebraska broadcast crew with Husker Hoops, and four-year captain and starter for Nebraska basketball, Jake Mielheisen with us. Jake, how are you, sir?
Great, Chris. How are you, man?
I'm good. Hall of Fame weekend's got to have you excited.
It's a fun weekend. You know, you get to see some old teammates you don't get to see very often, and, you know, make some connections with some older guys, and it's just a fun weekend, and it's good that Miles has all these guys back. It's just it's a good deal that he started, and hope it gets bigger and bigger each year.
Absolutely. Now, before we get serious, I need to ask about the Hall of Fame weekend. Is there a Hall of Fame weekend pickup game? I know Markowski talked to him this week. He said he's going to the game tomorrow. The former players get together and do about an hour, hour and a half of pickup. Is that something that needs to happen?
Well, there actually is a game scheduled for tomorrow morning. I will not be there because I am in retirement. I'm not going to get hurt.
Oh, I like this. Retirement. Okay.
Well, you know, I'm about 45 pounds heavier than what I was when I played. And there's no need for me to go and hurt myself. And, you know, I think there was 11 or 12 guys signed up, and I was talking to the folks organizing everything, and most of those guys are in pretty good shape, and they're like, why would I want to get up at 8 in the morning and go hurt myself?
You know what? That's a wise decision in some corners of the world, and that adult weight is, don't let anyone fool you, Jake. You're still super tall, and it spreads out okay. You're fine. Jake Mielheisen with us, Hail Varsity Radio. On a serious note, Jake, you were on the plane ride back from Minnesota, today, Coach Miles and Evan Taylor and Glenn Watson addressed the media. You had a hashtag, hate never wins, out this week. There was some consideration by Nebraska players. There was a discussion about maybe boycotting the Rutgers game in reference to the white nationalists on campus, his comments, and the frustration that exists with that. And you were on the plane ride, and you were able to observe. Kind of take us through what you're comfortable with from the team's standpoint on that plane ride home once it landed, and then the meeting that Miles had with his kids.
Yeah, I didn't. They had the team meeting towards the back of the plane, so I didn't get to hear a lot of what was said. But you know, based on what you read and you see the video of that guy saying what he said. You know, it's good to see that this team is coming together and all being unified on what they're saying with hate never wins. And it's just too bad they have to even go through this, especially at this time of year where they're having a great season on the court, and they have to have this crap on the outside impacting, you know, them, because, you know, they're they're being impacted by, not only them, but the student body is, because there's a guy on campus that, you know, we can all agree is a whack job, and he's being viewed as a threat to these students. So, you know, these guys are trying to do what they can to you know, not only support each other, but support their student body. And, you know, they're going to kind of speak out against it and do what they can do.
Well, I mean, I think it shows some maturity on a couple of your guys on you know, just some selfless dudes in Glenn Watson and Evan Taylor. I mean, their platform they take pretty seriously. He's a guy that the team really likes, and we spoke with him last week. And then there's Glenn. Glenn, you know him better than I do, but seems pretty quiet. But he felt a need to speak today, and they want to try and turn things into a positive, and that's the direction. How about Coach Miles, though, having such a good pulse on his team with the ability to communicate? Coach Miles has his team's back. The team feels the administration at Nebraska has the team's back, and students at the University of Nebraska's back with this. So the positive part of this is the communications that's going on. Do you agree?
I agree. I think, you know, like you said, Chris, is that how they're handling it. They're doing it in a positive manner. They're not, you know, going and trying to retaliate or do anything violent or negative or anything like that. They're doing it in a positive light to, you know, to shed some awareness and more awareness, you know, on what's going on, not only, you know, here in Lincoln, but, you know, across the country. So they're doing it in a positive way, and it shows the team chemistry, not only amongst the players, but with the coaches as well, to where Miles knows, you know, what's impacting his team, and he's talking to him about it. And, you know, they decided to all, you know, do this together and be a unified front. And, you know, it just shows that how close of a group this is. And you see it on the court, and now you can see it, you know, off the court right now.
Jake Mealhuizen with us, Hail Varsity Radio, standout Husker, part of the network, and he'll have the call tomorrow with Kent Pavelka against Rutgers, at Jake Mule on Twitter. Jake, a thought here on Rutgers. Let's talk about the game. And do you have any clue what Rutgers team you're going to see tomorrow afternoon?
Not really. I don't think anybody does. You see you watch them play at Michigan State, and you know, you see them play at home against Purdue, and then you get blown out at home. And so you don't know what team you're going to see, but I don't think that our team is worried about what Rutgers is going to do. If we come out and play like we have the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 games on the defensive end and turn some of those stops into offense, you know, we'll be just fine. You know, hopefully this off-court distraction doesn't do anything to us, but come out ready to play, I think we'll be just fine tomorrow.
Are you worried about a distraction?
Not really. I mean, these guys, I mean, you look what you know, when they had Jordy, and then when he kind of left, sure, and came back, that was a little bit of a distraction, but they still played just fine. So I'm not too worried about it, but you kind of just worry about, you know, sometimes when you go on the road, you know, we went at Wisconsin, we went at Minnesota, you're a little more locked in, and sometimes you come home, you kind of relax a little bit. I'm a little more concerned about that aspect of it than, you know, this distraction. And I don't think this team will allow themselves to relax, but that's my only concern for tomorrow.
Sometimes home cooking can take the edge off, you know. I think you're right.
Yeah, it's going to be a packed house tomorrow. At least I'm assuming it's going to be. I know a lot of people have been looking for tickets this week, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, you kind of just take that edge off a little bit. But I think this team, you know, just being around them on road trips, they're hungry. They're excited to where they're at right now, but they're excited to keep winning and hopefully get that invitation to the dance.
How about the scoring here by the Nebraska offense? Two of the last three games, they've hit 90 or better. Did you think the offense had that potential?
I think it always has. We're just not a consistent outside shooting team, mm-hmm, that we need to be. But I think we have capable shooters, and I think when we pick our spots and take the right shots in our offense, you know, we can be a really good perimeter shooting team. And we saw that. You know, we took really good shots at Minnesota. You know, we made 8 of 12 in the first half, which is outstanding, obviously. But I think we have so many guys that can score that it's hard for other guys to defend us. If they want to stop Palmer, You know, they have to stop Watson and Copeland and Roby. Then you bring Allen and Gill in. They have a tough time picking who they're going to stop and who they're going to help from.
Jake Mealhausen, a few more minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio. One thing that's been different the last couple of games, and it's been more of an offensive flow that's carried. There's been defense, right? There's been stops. But Iowa kind of got up and down, and then Minnesota found their groove. I mean, they got hot at the end there. Do you think there'll be kind of a renewed concentration on three-point defense and then also down low? Nebraska got burned a few times the last couple of games, doubling down in the post. Those are a couple of things Coach Miles mentioned today. Do you think there'll be better attention to it, or do you think it'll be better because of who the opponent is? And that opponent is Rutgers, that's very physical and athletic, but they're not great from the outside.
Yeah, I think there will be more attention to both guarding the three and doubling, but they really we've been giving up a lot of those threes because we've been doubling.
Sure.
And a lot of the teams have seen what we have done against, you know, starting off with Wisconsin and doubling half and doing some of those things. So they kind of know where it's coming from. So I think we're going to start mixing it up on where we're bringing the double team from, instead of always it being. In the last couple of games, it's always been from the four-man doubling the five. So I think we'll mix that up a little bit. And then we usually do a better job on the backside of rotating. We haven't found those guys quite as fast as we need to. But, you know, the Minnesota game, I haven't watched that game again, but after the game, I thought we played pretty good defense on the perimeter. They just hit some tough shots, especially late in the first half when Mason hit a couple from, you know, 25 feet and Washington hit a tough one. So I think we're doing okay from there. We just got to be a little more physical in our double teams, not let them pass out of it so easily.
Let's talk Roby for a second. Did you feel good about Minnesota, what he could do against them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was great. And when he's playing against some of those guys, if Murphy was going to guard Copeland, you know, Roby had an advantage offensively on a lot of those guys. So he was able to take advantage of that. And when we had some shooters on the floor, when we were shooting the ball so well, that's when Watson was able to do the pick and roll with him and throw him some lobs. So he's just so versatile what he can do. And then in the first half, he puts it on the deck and takes it all the way on the left side, makes a really tough left-handed layup. So he's just continuing to find more spots where he can score, and it's been pretty fun to watch.
Jake Mealhausen with us, Hail Varsity Radio, standout Husker and captain for 4 years, Lincoln Southeast product, at Jake Mule on Twitter, on the call with the network tomorrow, Nebraska and Rutgers. Last thought here, Jake, and thanks so much for a few minutes with us, about 60 seconds here. Who's going to get the assignment on Sanders, and you know, what's that number in mind for him? What's Nebraska got to hold him to, either from a volume standpoint or a total standpoint?
Yeah, I think Sanders is pretty, I mean, he's just tough to guard, especially if he gets it going from the perimeter. You know, I think early on will probably be either Gill or maybe even Palmer for that matter, just to bug him with Palmer's length.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Watson will have him. I think Watson will be on Baker to start.
Okay.
But if when Taylor comes in, Taylor will definitely be the one guarding Sanders to slow him down. But I think if we can get up here and pressure him, I think we may pick him up full court just to wear him down a little bit too, kind of like what we saw Watson do against Bohannon.
Sure.
And Davison, just wear those guys down that play big minutes. So since we have more depth at guard, so I think we'll see some of that, and hopefully the refs let us play a little more too, so if we can be physical with him, that'll really bother him.
Jake Mealhausen with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Jake, have a tremendous call tomorrow. Thanks for your insight. Thanks for your time today. Always fun to catch up, and we'll talk again.
Yep, thanks, Chris. Have a good one, man.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Dive into some comments assistant coaches have made about how in shape Nebraska football is when things got underway. It's been on social media. We'll get to it in a minute. I want to remind you about your friends at Wilderness Ridge. If you're chipping out of the rough right now, my man, you are dedicated. with all the ice and snow. But it'll be sunny and warm and beautiful at some point, and you're invited to go check out Wilderness Ridge. WildernessRidgeGolf.com. Shuey's going to be down in Puerto Rico. Is in Puerto Rico with a travel tournament in Husker Golf. So good on him. But I want to tell you about corporate memberships now available. Get in on the fun. Check out affordable, all-inclusive corporate golf membership. Membership benefits include free room rental. If you haven't been to some of those wonderful rooms in the lodge at Wilderness Ridge, it's incredible. Also, golf shop and food and beverage discounts, reduced guest rates, and a complimentary golf clinic for 10 with cocktails and appetizers on the deck. And when it's sunny and warm and beautiful, there's not a lot of better places than the deck at Wilderness Ridge. Corporate memberships now available. Find out more with your friends at Wilderness Ridge, WildernessRidgeGolf.com. Okay, so what do you believe was a monster reason for 4-8? And let me preface this by saying this isn't pinata time on the athletes or coaches or strength and conditioning that used to be there. It's a culmination of factors, and you went 4-8. The responsibility is on players and coaches to not go 4-8. Changes were made. Mindsets need to be changed. That's what we're getting into, isn't it? And Evan Bland, Omaha World Herald, on social media, quoted Troy Walters. Now, here's the full quote. There was a portion of the quote that was sent out about squats. When was the last time I did a squat? I don't know. Weeks. Danny right now is eating raw meat, vitamin D milk. I think he did quite a few squats this morning. We're not going to get personal and ask how much it was. But here's the quote. It all starts up front. Shake your head if you disagree. Does it all start up front? Well, I'm nodding my head yes. They're in the weight room right now. They're squatting. They're power cleaning. I know I heard the old staff, they didn't squat the last 3 years. So they're squatting. They're in there squatting. The old school power clean. They're getting after it. That's where the mentality, the toughness, that's where that's developed, the weight room. You heard Jay Moore talk about it. Okay, Jay was part of that. Husker power. Pushing yourself when you don't think you can go anymore and hoping that you don't have a lot of fourth quarter games. But if you do, you can respond. On social media, former Husker Sam Hawn responded to Evan's comment about this. As did Ross DeZuris. Okay. So those are two guys. One on the offensive line, one on the defensive line, that said, you know, that's not true. We did squats. Here's the question. Was there the appropriate amount of accountability? No, is your answer. How is the accountability the last 2.5, 3 years at Nebraska? I think to a man, I think you had guys on the team that wanted to get better, understood they needed to get stronger, and they worked at it. There's some guys, like everywhere in any phase of life, that'll find a way to worm out of things. Are you as strong as you possibly could be? Are you as well conditioned as you possibly could be? Are you invested to be incredible for the guy you're playing next to? And the answer too many times was no. And from a weight room standpoint, building that mental toughness to you saw what happened when Nebraska got down in games, okay, last year. There were some games they would fight back, other games against bigger, badder opponents, they would just get run over. 2 years ago, they were a really pretty solid fourth quarter team. But Tommy, the Wisconsin game, they weren't bad at all. They were a fine fourth quarter team. You just wish more points would happen. So the long and short of it is this. It comes down to management style and communication. We'll get to the phones here in a minute. What type of manager was Mike Riley? Mike Riley showed you where the water is. Are you thirsty or not? It's up to you. He didn't dunk anybody. And if Mike Riley is a manager that's hands-off with an NFL mentality, he's not going to be hands-on and communicating like he should or needs to get guys in the weight room bigger, stronger, and faster. Strength and conditioning staff can only do so much. They're there willing to help you. They're there trying to make you better. But they are not the boss. They take orders. They give their recommendations, and then it's up to the head coach to hand the keys over and let the strength and conditioning coach go to town. And if there's a few players that talk to their position coach and say, you know, I'm not feeling it today. Is it cool if I skip a workout? Well, sure. Sure. Got to get right. Maybe that went on more than once. Jeremy's on hold. Jeremy, thanks for your patience. I've been just chatting away here. Go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hey, no squats. That's just ridiculous. I never heard that until just now.
Yeah, I don't.
Everybody knows that the strength comes from your legs, especially an offensive lineman.
I don't know. I don't believe that there weren't squats happening, to be honest with you. I just think that the enforcement to make maybe more squats happening was out of the hands of the people who needed the backing of coaches.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, you know, I think of guys in our past, the Amir Abdullahs and the Rex Burkheads, who they always said outworked everybody in the weight room. You know, maybe we're going to have 88 or 85 guys on scholarship now who are going to outwork. Maybe we're going to be.
It's got to be a priority, Jeremy. You got to
be.
You got to either be self-made like Amir, or have somebody on that team that infects everybody, or it's now a dictatorship where you're going to do X, Y, and Z to build your body, get your strength up, and be dominant in the fourth quarter. And if you don't want to do that, see ya.
And I would say one of the biggest problems for Nebraska football in the last few years has been the leadership of the athletes. We haven't had a really good leadership from the athletes. And if we're not going to have that, then maybe we need a Scott Frost to come in and buckle them down.
It'll be good. Jeremy, thanks for the call. We'll get to more of your calls here. Coming up, hour one, winding down on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Some room for you, about 5 minutes before we say goodbye in hour one. Next hour, Derek Peterson, HailVarsity.com and magazine, Dr. Petey in Grand Island last night, spending time with Coach Held and Coach Chenander. You're talking about strength and conditioning, what Frost and Duvall are walking into this season, this group, and it's a combo of issues. You have individual accountability and team accountability, and you haven't had that from that age group for a long time, because you are 18 to 22, and there's a hell of a lot better things to be doing than going to the gym, unless it's Madonna Proactive, of course. Point is, there's just some guys, and it comes down to, you know, profiling and recruiting. Do guys love football? And do guys want to get better at football? Are you tired of getting your butt kicked? And some guys just got used to it. But no more, no longer. Don't kid yourself when you hear Scott Frost talk about not winning every game. And you have this peak of excitement and anticipation, and dude's going to turn it around quick. One major league roadblock in that is to get everybody up to snuff and get up to speed. So they are the most dominant team in the fourth quarter. So they are the strongest team. So they are the team that's not hampered by nagging injuries, soft tissue issues. And it's just, it takes a while to weed out those guys that aren't going to be there at 6 a.m. lifting versus the guys that, how dedicated are you to it? Do you have dedication? And it kind of goes back to what type of mentality you're bringing into the program. And Nebraska wants to get good football players, yes. But do they get the air quote right football players where it's not foreign to a dude? Brandon Vogel did a story on Amir Abdullah, God, for the yearbook. Let's go back to 2014, Amir's senior year. So Brandon drove on down to Birmingham, Homewood area, got to meet Amir and his family, and then spent time. What did Amir and his older brother, Mohammed, do on Friday nights? Kind of goes to the mentality of the kid you're recruiting. And Amir had already made it to Nebraska, preseason All-American, a guy that ran for 1,800 yards, went in the second round to Detroit. You know his story. And you loved watching him. You know how powerful he was. Amir's crushing it at a gym on a Friday night when he's home in January, going into his senior year of college, after just deciding to come back to Nebraska. Again, it comes down to some mentality. Now, weight room's very important. It helps you grind, gets you dedicated. It pushes you, and you get bigger, stronger, faster. Weights don't fight back, though. It comes to a point where you got to learn to win as well. Coming up, Guy Rosenberg going to join us. We had a chance to chat with him on signing day. He's up next.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Signing day 2018. And let's get caught up with Elkhorn South's head coach, Guy Rosenberg. Coach, thanks for a few minutes today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks a lot for having me on the show.
Well, appreciate your time. And Nebraska was able to get just a tremendous player you know well, and Moses Bryant, preferred walk-on spot. And I wanted to spend some time, as it is signing day and as Nebraska completes their class, on Moses a bit. Many of us have had a chance to see him, but kind of take me through this process, if you could, with where Nebraska was at with Moses and where Moses was at when it came to his decision earlier this week to choose to walk on. Very talented, has the ability to get a scholarship at a lot of places, but wanted to go to Lincoln.
Right. Well, Moses is just a dynamic playmaker and a great young man, and again, his heart's in Lincoln, and that's where he wants to be at. And as you mentioned, he had opportunities, could have pursued many other opportunities at other schools, but he really wants to be a part of what Coach Frost and his staff and the other players down there are building in Lincoln. And so just, again, he's never been a guy that shied away from competition, that he had a chance that Coach Frost visited Elkhorn South. Coach Rude's been there several times, and Moses had a chance to talk with them and some of the other football staff down at the walk-on night on December 10th, and just fell in love with Nebraska even more there, and wanted to be a part of that, and realized, hey, that he's going to walk on initially, but Coach Frost, Coach Rude, said repeatedly that they feel that, hey, that Moses is a Big Ten scholarship player. He's going to be able to make an impact down there. It's just where he had some academic work that he needs to just complete this spring, and he'll be right where he needs to be there in terms of being a qualifier, and he'll be down there on campus and be able to compete. And as things go along, that there's a great opportunity for him to earn a scholarship after he's there on campus. So for as far as his academics, that Moses had an outstanding semester in the fall, all A's and B's in core classes. And so this spring, he just needs to keep doing what he's been doing. He doesn't have to reach any new level of performance. He just needs to replicate what he did before. And so I'm just so happy for Moses that he's a guy that wants to be down there in Lincoln. That's his dream school. He wants to play out there on that field, and I'm excited that his dream's coming true for him.
Coach Rosenberg's with us, Elkhorn South, Hale Varsity Radio, signing day 2018, a few minutes on Moses Bryant. Coach, you mentioned the academics, and from your perspective, from your standpoint, the message you have to kids that you've been coaching and will continue to coach and for future kids, it's just kind of a whole new ball game once ninth grade hits, isn't it? With just not that junior high is not real or important, it is, but from an academic standpoint, what you do early can affect you late. That's an example and an instance that's plagued a lot of high-profile players around the country. What's your message to kids about schoolwork and studying once they get to high school?
Well, just like you mentioned there, it's almost like a batting average in baseball that, you know, as things go along and progress, you know, every at-bat counts. But as you get later in the season, you know, if a major league guy is hitting 235 in September, he's been playing the whole year. I mean, he can have a 4-for-5 day, and it's not going to make that big of a difference. It's where it's the cumulative effect there. And I'm just so proud of the ownership that Moses took. You know, just he's made such big strides. Academics became very important to him, and his investment and his going all the extra mile, meeting with teachers. And again, once it became very important to him, he made huge strides. And he had a lot of support, too, from our AD, Roger Ortmeier, Principal Mark Calvota, and the counselor, Jason Gosnell. And all those people really worked with Moses, too, to make sure that he was aware of the situation and what he needed to accomplish. And Moses went out and took care of business and did what he needed to do. And again, like I said, just that things would have been easier of getting off to a better start. But it's one of those things that you can't change the past. All you can control is the moment. And Moses has controlled what he could control, and he's going to be right where he needs to be with an opportunity to compete down in Lincoln.
When you look at Moses Bryant, Coach, and you get a chance to see him every day, what translates, in your opinion, to major college football, to the Big Ten? What are his traits that you're excited to see at the next level?
Well, I think with Moses, it's a matter of competitiveness, you know, the champion's heart, burst, athleticism, speed and space. I mean, I think just with, you know, with football is always a game that it's going to be a physical game. It's going to involve courage. And with Moses, that he's not afraid to lay it all on the line when the game's on the line. When the lights are shining the brightest, that's when he's at his best. He's not afraid of the moment. And I think that's, you know, with a true competitor, just like, you know, with Michael Jordan talked about, you know, having the courage to take that last shot, even if you know you're not always going to make it all the time, just that willingness to fully extend yourself and let the chips fall where they may, and to trust your teammates and the scheme and your preparation. That's what Moses is all about, being a game changer at crucial high-level, high-leverage moments in the game. I think with Moses also, too, versatility. I mean, just the way that football is evolving, that almost, you know, the players that where they can defy position label. So with Moses, he's got the skills of a running back, got the skills of a wide receiver. And versatile players like that are tough to defend. You know, when you look at the college and the NFL level, that guys like Christian McCaffrey that can line up deployed as a receiver, can line up in the backfield and run for power. I think that's the thing about Moses that makes him a big-time player is the competitiveness, the elusiveness and power in space, and the fact that he has such a diverse skill set that he can line up all over the formation and be competitive and has a high enough level of skill that you can play him pretty much anywhere, and he's going to excel. Also outstanding defensive player at corner and an outstanding kick returner. You know, for him, I think when you go through and look at his highlights, I mean, highlights are great, but the context of the play doesn't really come through in highlights. And I think when somebody goes through and watches Moses' highlights, once they have the realization that, hey, a lot of these big spectacular plays that he's making are in the playoffs against outstanding teams, at crucial game-changing moments, in those games. So I think that's the biggest thing there of the skill set that translates over. And hey, anybody, you know, can make a lot of big plays when the game's out of, you know, out of control and it's one-sided. It's, hey, when all the money's on the table and it's time to step up. That's what Moses has always been about, and that's why I'm so confident in him heading down to Lincoln, you know, going out there and needing to compete for a job. That's all he wants, is an opportunity to compete for a job, and I think that he feels that he's going to get that down there in Lincoln.
You're so right about context to play. Not only did it happen, but when did it happen, and did the defense know it was going to happen? I mean, as far as the prep and who's getting the ball. Coach, you've coached a while, and just let's spend a second on the transition, if we could. When it comes to hybrid players, there's been a long line of hybrid wishes by coaches to get more guys defensively. Get me that hybrid defender that can get after the quarterback and cover in space, that outside linebacker spot, or the secondary player, right? Well, the Frost offense has done a great job of finding the hybrid offensive guy that can run and catch it, and he can do so many different things. And as we move forward in football, what type of answer, if any, do you see defenses having for the hybrid offensive players?
Well, I think just like you said, it's a game of adapting, and that just with the defense, that the defensive players pretty much have to morph in order to match their offensive components. So, right, if you've got these versatile hybrid players on offense, then you need, you know, that, I think that's why the defenses a lot have gone to essentially playing almost a nickel defense as the base defense. You know, you need the guys like a Jabril Peppers, players like that, that, you know, can be a safety, that can be a linebacker, you know, it can be a slot corner, that can play in space. And so I think that's the biggest thing of needing to match the personnel that's there. But the thing that's nice offensively is that you have a lot better chance to dictate the matchups on offense than you do on defense. And, you know, on offense, you can hide the guys and de-emphasize guys maybe where it's not as quite as strong a matchup for you. But on defense, you know, hey, once somebody on offense finds a weak point there, finds a matchup that they can exploit, that it makes it very tough defensively to hide that guy, to help that guy out there in space. And I think that was, you know, one of the reasons, just like we saw the other night with the Super Bowl there with the Patriots and the Eagles, that offensively both of them have, you know, players with very versatile skill sets. They're able to move those pieces around, and with the RPOs and with, you know, creating matchups, that they're able to get a matchup that they like and then just really exploit that matchup. So I think ties in too with the tempo offenses. Hey, find a matchup you like. Don't give the defense a chance to sub. Keep your foot on the gas and just keep pounding away at that weak point until the defense has to adjust.
Elkhorn South head coach Guy Rosenberg, a few minutes with us here. Signing day 2018, Hail Varsity Radio. His thoughts on Moses Bryant, preferred walk-on. Last thought here, Coach, and what's your reaction to Coach Frost, how he has been in your school and your community, along with Coach Rude? What's been your reaction to just how much attention it seems like Frost and some of his staff have paid to in-state coaches?
Well, they've been just tireless. You can tell that Nebraska high school football and Nebraska players are extremely important to them, and it's not just words, it's their actions. It's all the time that they spend out on the road, and I know that with, you know, Coach Frost, Coach Rude, when they've been at South, you know, Coach Rude's been there several times. Coach Frost came in to visit, and I think with both of them, they had been on red-eye flights from across the country the night before, but first thing in the morning that they were there at Elkhorn South, and that says a lot about them, just the tirelessness of their recruiting efforts and the emphasis they're putting on Nebraska high schools and getting the chance to get out there in the field and meet coaches. And I think that Coach Frost, just again, there's an amount of excitement around Nebraska football that, you know, don't think has been there for years and years. Dynamic personality that he has, but also too with just being a humble guy. And the best way I'd put it with Coach Frost is, it seems to me that when some coaches will come into school from colleges, you almost get this vibe from them. They want you to feel how important that they are. And I think with Coach Frost, he's a guy that he goes out of his way to make other people feel important, in the same way with Coach Rude. And I think that just goes such a long way. That's such a sustainable model. That's why guys like Moses, you know, want to go and walk on and play football for guys like Coach Rude and Coach Frost, because that they're guys that are, you know, Nebraska high school players themselves back before. They're guys that have played at Nebraska, that they've got their blood in the game. And I think that's just the draw that is there, that energy and that sincerity and just the energy that they bring to the high schools.
Coach, last thought, and I appreciate your time today. With Moses, running back, wants to stick with that, I'd assume, but could he also maybe look at or see the defensive side of the ball at all?
Oh, definitely. That I think that with Moses, that to me, it would be tough to take the football out of his hands, just because he sees such an explosive guy with the ball in his hands on offense and all the things he can do there. But on defense, he started at corner for us for 2 years, and again, very skilled in the pass, you know, defense realm, but also very physical tackler. And I think that's another thing, getting back to what we were talking about with the way the game has evolved, that the most difficult thing to do, I believe, is to tackle in the open field.
Yes.
Guys that can tackle in the open field are tough to find, and you need them more and more with what offenses are doing. So that's one of the real strong points with Moses, is being able to tackle in the open field. He had essentially the game-winning tackle in the championship game 2016 against Scott on a two-point conversion, came up from corner there. And I think just with tackling, with teams that have less and less contact in practice, you know, if there's contact limitations due to, you know, trying to protect players' health. And so it's a lot tougher to teach guys to tackle. And he's somebody who knows how to tackle and does it very efficiently. So I have no doubt that he could also be a force on defense if that's where Nebraska would need him. And I know that that's something that Coach Frost mentioned as a possibility. And I know that that's something that Moses would definitely be 100% good with doing as well.
Coach, best to you and your team. We'll talk again. Thanks for a few minutes today.
That sounds great. Thanks very much.
A rewind segment there. That's Guy Rosenberg. Moses Bryant, tremendous back out of Elkhorn South, walking on this week, part of our signing day coverage. News from Bill Moose. Dramatic pause there. I dropped my paper. This on social media here, AD Bill Moose's statement: I fully support the positive and unified message of our men's basketball team. The message they're sharing, I'm proud that our student athletes for taking a stance against hate, prejudice, and racism. Moose also, I want them to know that safety and well-being for all of our student athletes is our top priority. So the message from the athletic director, and you have the AD, the head coach, the team, all on the same page. That's not always been the case. So good from Bill Moose. Absolutely. Derek Peterson's coming up. Dr. Petey of Hale Varsity. He's been all over the state checking out where the assistants are going to meet the fans. He'll tell you about that. He'll also tell us what he thinks of Nebraska basketball tomorrow against Rutgers. He was at the press conference. I want to remind you about Valentine's Day. Listen, it's coming. It's around the corner. It's next week. Let Rick help you out with Sauter Heyman. They have the Time and Eternity Diamond Pendant starting at $99. That is a winner for you and for her. With Valentine's Day, she'll know how much you care when you give her the gift of time and eternity. 12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion in Lincoln or out west in Grand Island. SauterHeyman.com. Get there, your headquarters for Valentine's Day with Rick and Sauter Heyman.
And now,
back to Hale Varsity Radio.
He's a traveling man, been all over the state, providing phenomenal coverage with HaleVarsity.com and magazine. Derek Peterson at Dr. Petey 15 on Twitter. Dr. Petey, how are you, sir?
It was a bad day to not bring a coat, my friend. I will tell you.
What are you doing? I just got done FaceTiming my kid, right? And I'm like, did you bring your coat? Did you wear your coat? Because all you young dudes getting off my lawn right now, forgive me. You guys don't wear anything to cover up. I mean, Danny, the pride of Chicago, he's so worried about his coat that he came in and took it. He's got a sweet Cubs coat, if there is such a thing. And he didn't leave it here, but you didn't wear one. And you got a winter weather advisory in eastern Nebraska.
I tell you what, I have my Patagonia fleece, and when I left my apartment this afternoon, that was all I needed, and I was not paying attention to the forecast for this evening, and now I'm sitting in our office looking at the snow that's coming in sideways and thinking, I have to walk to my car here pretty soon.
Was North Face busy, you and Patagonia?
North Face is too expensive. Patagonia, well, also, I'll walk that back. Patagonia is pretty expensive, too. I think I got this as a Christmas or a birthday gift, so it wasn't my money that was getting spent.
That's right, because I asked for the old North Face vest like most of the world did.
Patagonia is a young man's game.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well, some of us had Patagonia when we were your age. Okay.
This is also the only fleece like that that I own, so I can't act too high and mighty.
No, you're good. You know who needs to act high and mighty is the Nebraska coaching staff, and they've been getting hugs and fist pounds, and they've been touring the state. And you had a chance to spend time with Coach Chenander and Ryan Held, and your story up, HaleVarsity.com. Right now, can log on and read Derek Peterson. Phenomenal coverage with him and Greg Smith and Jacob Padilla, Mike Babcock, Aaron Babcock, Brandon Vogel. The team's the best. You know I love them. But take us through a little bit of your time yesterday out in the great city of Grand Island, central Nebraska. We love them. And your impression and what you thought, what you saw from the Nebraska fans, the reception.
I tell you what, this staff is the right staff for this job. The more you hear them talk, the more you hear kind of this unified goal, this unified vision that they have for this program, the more you kind of do some research on guys like Ryan Held and guys like Chenander and the work they put in on the recruiting trail and the work that they've put in to try to get this thing up and running. It's really something that you just got to sit back and you got to kind of be in awe almost. And they're still working, which is crazy. I've been transcribing from yesterday through today, and I will be through the end of tonight, just quote after quote after quote that's just incredible from these guys. I've got a bunch of stuff from Chenander talking about the defense, talking about how he felt weird when he was introduced at the basketball game a few weeks ago and they asked him to throw the bones. He said, I haven't earned that yet. Talking to Coach Held, and he was talking about just guys that are going to have to earn their spots, guys that aren't going to come in and have a spot because you know, they started last year with guys that are going to be in a smaller role because they had a smaller role last year. It's really interesting to hear this staff talk and interesting to see kind of there's such a collective vision for what this program is going to be. And there's such a detailed plan that they have for how things are going to play out over the next however many years. And it's really It's impressive to see.
Derek Peterson's with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine at Dr. PD 15. Detail is, you know, it's a capital D with Coach Frost and this staff and how they want to get things done. Take me back to Wednesday for a minute before you get to the assignments you covered and then the trip you took yesterday. What'd you think of the class? What'd you think of what Nebraska did? And I love your perspective because you've been around Big Game Bob and OU for so many years, just rocking and dropping top five to top 15 classes. That's been their range. Yep. Well, yep. You saw what Nebraska got. What's your takeaway?
I tell you what, if they had a full recruiting cycle to go about this, if they had all of their official visits, if they had all of the time that other coaching staffs that have been in place, if they had that, this would be a top 15 class. These guys knocked this thing out of the park. You look at guys, I really like the two cams. I'm going to get confused with all the cams. Mm-hmm.
Cameron told us that he's Bubba. Well, so we'll just call him Bubba Jones.
Okay, we'll say Bubba. But I really like Bubba. I really like Cam Taylor. I really like Caleb Tanner in this mm-hmm. class. And I really, when he gets here, I really, really like Jerron Woodyard. I think he's going to be something special as wide receiver. They got a guy in Miles Jones that they've already said is going to move around a ton. They've got you know, you look at this class and it doesn't feel like, we've said this a ton before, but this doesn't feel like a transition class at all. And then when you look at, I was talking with Greg Smith, our recruiting guy, about this yesterday, and he said that you and him, when you were doing the radio show Wednesday, kind of had a similar thought. When you hear the guys on defense talk, when you hear like a Cam Taylor, or when you hear Bubba talk about playing defense, being physical, there's an attitude and kind of a you can sense the physicality that this group is bringing, and it's something that is new. It's something that's fresh, and it's something that feels like is going to help this culture shift that's about to happen be expedited a little bit more, because these guys want to come in like Cam was talking about. He doesn't like playing corner because it's boring and he wants to hit people. Like, what, when have we heard that? You know, like, it's, and not to say anything bad about the guys that are here, because from everything that we've heard, everybody's bought in. Everybody's ready to go. But this class that is coming, they've kind of been public in saying that we feel that this is the class that when we look back on it 5 years from now, we're going to be the one that started Nebraska on the right path back towards national relevancy and back towards championships. And you really, I mean, you try to not get too excited, because like Scott said on signing day, you know, he's not here to win February. He's here to win games in the fall. And those still have to be done, and they've still got a lot of work that has to be done to get to a position where they're playing meaningful games. But it's hard to not get excited when you look at just the talent top to bottom that they brought in this class.
I think the big part of the excitement is the belief and the mentality from the coaches and how they'll get that shaped with the roster. Derek Peterson's with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine, at Dr. PD15. Derek, we'll get to hoops here in a second. A quick thought, though, on Bubba. When he's taught, and same with Jones, or Taylor, I should say. Now you confuse me. It's like it's a warning. It's a warning from these guys in the secondary that I play physical. It's not a brag. It's just, is how it's going to happen. This is what's going to be. And then I like Casey Rogers, too. I mean, I think he's just a dude that's, I mean, his shirt and his collar is blue. I mean, that's what he's going to do, and he's got a ton of athleticism. Let's talk Nebraska basketball. You were at the Miles press conference. Nebraska's team really bothered by the sentiment on campus, the person on campus that is a white nationalist, and his views and his thoughts, a statement just out from Bill Moose. What did you take away? How did you feel? What was the room like with Miles and his players, Glenn Watson, Evan Taylor, from a focus standpoint, because Nebraska can get 19 wins, and then a bigger picture standpoint, their fight against racism?
It's incredible. I feel like I've got maybe a unique perspective, being that, you know, I'm not far removed from college myself. I can kind of feel where these guys are coming from, and that, you know, that was not an easy thing to do. This is not going to be an easy thing for them to do, to be so public and kind of be the face of this, you know, stand that's, we're not going to put up with this type of hate. Because, you know, they talked about that today. There are going to be people that are going to say bad things about them. There are going to be people that, you know, do the stupid stick to sports thing. There's going to be some tension that comes from this. But it was incredible to see Evan Taylor and Glenn Watson kind of show maturity beyond their years and courage and all the other things that you want in a kid. And, you know, for me, I just came from Oklahoma, where we dealt with the SAE incident a couple years ago. And when that happened, Oklahoma's football team took a stand, and they kind of set the tone for the rest of the students on campus to get behind and say, this is not going to be tolerated. This is not going to be acceptable. This feels like a very similar situation where these kids are I mean, it's impressive. It's really impressive to sit and watch two guys that aren't much younger than me and be like, man, they're taking a stand. It's impressive. It's impressive. Kind of at a loss for words.
No, that's fine.
During the whole deal. But
it's hard to explain kind of your reaction to it, but it is impressive, and it is – and the way they're trying to do it from a positive sense is what's different. It's easy to badmouth. It's real hard to step up and say, look, man, we're trying to be positive about this and preach the message of love. And that's what
it would have been real easy for them to just kind of ignore it.
It would have been real easy
for them to just say, you know, we're hunting for a tournament berth. We're got a good thing going right now with our basketball team and with what we're doing in games. It would have been real easy for them to just say, we don't need another distraction. That's not directly affecting us. Let's kind of focus in on what we can do. But they are choosing, and Miles talked about this, that he got a text message from Anton Gill and from Evan pretty much almost immediately after the Minnesota game ended, that, you know, this is something that was bothering them and this is something that they wanted to do. And I tell you, that game tomorrow night, is it tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon?
Tomorrow at 3, yeah.
Yeah, it's that atmosphere in there. I'm really curious what it's going to be like. I think it has the potential to be a pretty powerful moment.
Sure.
And, you know, you heard we got a statement from Bill Moose, and you saw Tim Miles. I guess he was at a rally on campus earlier this week.
He was on Wednesday.
There's the support that they have and the people that are in place at this university in the athletic department. Pretty impressive.
Derek, we'll get caught up, brother. Thanks for your work. Awesome stuff, man.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Derek Peterson at DrPD15 on Twitter. We ran out of time. Derek Peterson's working on a phenomenal story on Ryan Held for the recruiting issue of Hail Varsity magazine that's coming out. I was going to ask Derek about it, but dude, Derek's phenomenal. Good stuff, good perspective. Talked some recruiting and Coach Held, Coach Shenander, and then Derek's perspective too on the coverage of Coach Miles and Nebraska basketball. Okay, we're going to get fired up. Friday forecast. Vogues was on the road today. I didn't really even ask him. I talked to him to say what's up, but I didn't. Hey, you want to do the forecast? Clausburn is just taunting me. As in, he'll say what's up, but I didn't enlist him. We have our own, I don't want to say degenerate, we have our own expert.
A little bit of both.
Capital, lowercase c. In all seriousness, Friday forecast presented to you by the Gambler's Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call the statewide helpline at 800-522-4700. In Lincoln, the Choices Treatment Center, there for you 24-7, 402-476-2300. And the Nebraska Council on Problem Gambling, that is open anytime you need to make the call, as mentioned, 800-522-4700. Okay, so the Friday forecast, plenty of college basketball. My kids just cranked up for this one. And I was watching Rutgers. I'm lying to you. I wasn't watching Rutgers, but I was watching Nebraska win at Minnesota Tuesday. So Junior took over downstairs, and I could hear him screaming, shouting at the TV downstairs because Michigan State was at Iowa City, and that thing got oh so tight. It was 96-93. Sparty won on the road. Iowa just scores all over you. So how does Michigan State deal with the roadie to Purdue? Purdue got beat at home by Ohio State, so this isn't as sexy as it could have been. The easy answer right now is give me Purdue and give me Purdue by 5 to 10 points because of their size, their ability to shoot, their ability to drive. And Sparty's been playing like garbage for a long time. That's the easy thing to say. Give me Michigan State on the road. a woeful second consecutive loss by Purdue. I think it all comes together. And give me Michigan State 75-70 at Purdue.
Wow. Okay.
You don't believe it.
As much as I do want to, I think Purdue's going to have...
I think Purdue's better. I just think Sparty, when they want to put it together, they can play out of their mind.
Well, Michigan State's minus one right now is what I see.
How the hell are they favored on the road?
No, they're at home. My bad. Michigan State at home. So that's why I am a little nervous about
So Michigan
Purdue.
State is hosting.
Correct.
I just lied to everybody.
Yeah.
The way it's listed here, it says...
Yeah, it did look a little funky there.
So my apologies... On that, okay, so if Michigan State's hosting, then absolutely they get the win. I was thinking they had to go on the road.
Yeah, this game is tough. I don't know, man. I mean, I do think Purdue's going to bounce back, but the home factor really kills it for me. I'm going to have to go with Purdue. I'm going to have to go against you on this one.
It's fine.
I'll go Purdue 79. Purdue 79, Michigan State 75.
Well, we can pick two or three things with the forecast every Friday.
Right.
And the winner gets to be victorious. The loser has to have an act of shame.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So that may be me putting on your Urlacher jersey.
Yeah, wear a Cubs hat. Get something.
I have Cubs gear.
Oh, okay.
But I have divorced Chicago from years of torrid treatment. Moving on. Creighton, Xavier. Creighton hosting.
I believe, yes, Creighton is hosting.
So the way the folks at Hale Varsity have the forecast also posted, we got to figure out how this thing goes because apparently the team that's listed first is the host team. Usually the team listed last is the home team.
Right.
Listen, Creighton pulled one off big time. Xavier had a shot this week for a big time win. I think Creighton wins at home. I think it's going to be a score fest. 90-85, give me the Jays.
And once again, I will disagree with you there.
Is this hope? I mean, do you hate Creighton?
No, I really don't hate Creighton. I just don't think they're that good this year. They're really not. They're not living up to... Well, I guess I don't even know if they had that high of expectations, but they've just been in so many
games. You're a tournament
games.
Team.
Right. I don't know who are they playing. DePaul, and they lost by one the other night.
They won.
I think, oh, or they won by one, right?
Three ball.
Yeah. Okay.
Buzzer. Yeah.
Yeah. I like Xavier. What did you have them at? What did you?
90-85.
90-85. Okay. I'll go Xavier 83, Creighton 77.
Yeah. Okay. Nebraska and Rutgers. I think this thing's going to be very tight because Rutgers is a team that once you count them out, they come and punch you in the cup. They just do. The way they played Purdue, woulda, won. They should be 2-0 against Michigan State. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, won. Who's playing the best basketball in the Big Ten right now? Arguably, Nebraska. Rutgers will play up to this. Rutgers is bad offensively. I'm going to go distraction card a little bit here for Nebraska, and I'm also going to go Nebraska maybe patting themselves on the back a bit too much. Nebraska wins, but you sweat this mother out. 71-70.
Wow.
And that's a lot of points for Rutgers.
Yeah.
I just think that Corey Saunders gets loose. I think he goes off. I think Nebraska has a lapsed defensive game. And trend-wise, they've scored 90 in two of their last three games, which is great. They've also allowed opponents to shoot pretty well.
Okay.
So I'm going to say Nebraska by a point, but man, it hurts.
I don't think it's going to be close. I mean, there will be some instances where it's going to get close.
Nebraska didn't put them away.
All right.
Just linger.
I think Nebraska will play tough. They've... When's the last time they played at home? Who was it against?
Iowa.
Iowa, okay.
Track
and they killed
meet.
Them, right. So it's been a little while. I think they're going to be excited to play in front of their home fans. I do understand the distraction factor. However, I do think it can make it bigger for them, meaning they come closer, they're ready to play even more so and want to put on a show even more so. And I'm going to go with Nebraska 74-65 over Rutgers.
Northwestern, Maryland. Northwestern trying to put a run together. Maryland is trying to just salvage this bubble spot. I think Maryland gets it handled because they're at home. That's the only reason. Northwestern just beat Michigan. It'll be tight, but give me the Terps 67, Maryland 62.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Definitely Maryland, except I'm going to go Maryland 72, Northwestern 66.
All right. Well, there is your Friday forecast. Our picks today for entertainment purposes only. 6 to 8 million Americans meet the criteria for gambling addiction and many more affected by an individual's gambling problem. Don't gamble more than you can afford to lose. And if it stops being fun, please seek help. Please seek help. So if you or someone you love has a gambling problem, again, Choices Treatment Center and your friends with the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling, 800-522-4700, the Friday forecast.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Great to be with you, Hail Varsity Radio, winding down a Friday weekend edition. Tomorrow morning, we will have our Iditarod sled ready. I'm sorry about that. So, tomorrow, 7 a.m., myself, Mark Kranak, and Colton Stone, 80s action star, Danny Burke is here. Did you realize, and our homeboy Will from KFRX tweeted this to Husker Hoop Central, I saw this, Nebraska's favored by one, uno, at home to Rutgers, which I get. But Maryland's only favored by one. Michigan State's favored by one. Tight ball game there. But this is the kicker for just how uncertain Vegas is right now of the Big Ten. Ohio State is favored by just one at home against Iowa. Why is that? Well, coming off a big win, who the hell's Iowa? And Iowa traps you. They trap you. It's pickup ball where everyone wants to be Steph Curry, except Iowa can hit some threes. That and Cook will jackhammer you down low. He's phenomenal. Cook and Bohannon are really fun to watch. And then there's Ohio State where they might break 60. Offense optional. There's your reasoning. But Vegas right now, I mean, there's probably a conversation going, yeah, should we pull the board on Nebraska? Because they've been just smoked, especially the last, what, 10, 13 Nebraska's been on. I'd like to see the wins and losses total on that for your friends out in the desert, Danny. Have you been?
No, I haven't, but my sister actually moved out there, and I told her that's the worst thing you could have done because now I just have an excuse to go out there. Exactly. I told my parents, get the plane ticket ready. I'm ready to go.
Well, you can fly out of central Nebraska, go out on a Thursday, come back Sunday.
Yeah, I could.
I've never been. But if we went, I mean, somebody would end up on the roof. We'd run into a guy named Chow. You'd spend all your ones.
Oh, yeah. We'll go the weekend of March Madness.
Can't do it. Tournament games to cover.
That's right. Live broadcast. There we go.
The look in Daniel's eyes.
A mic in one hand, the ones in the other.
Sure. The look in Danny Burke's eyes when I said ones, he's like, oh, yeah. That's priceless, son. That is so good. Okay, if you missed the show, you can log on alvarcity.com or go to iTunes. There are parts of signing day up. Also, parts of yesterday's show with Jerry DiNardo up on ESPNLincoln.com. So check that out. It is going to be brutal weather this weekend with Mr. Snow. So if you're texting and driving, there are stupider things to be doing, but not many. So behavior is always dangerous when you text and drive. For every driver all the time, no matter how safely or effectively you think you can do it. When you're texting, you take your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. That's like driving blind at 55 miles per hour, the length of a football field. You increase your chance of an accident by 23 times and fines between $100 and $300. So don't text and drive. This message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 7 a.m. with Hale Varsity Radio Weekend.